Take your Bibles now, remain standing. 2 Thessalonians this evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 is where we'll begin reading verses 6 through 13 tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I'll begin reading in verse number 6, and then you'll join me on verse number 7. We'll read like that all the way through verse number 13. The Bible says, beginning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have no power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so overwhelmed on a day like today, Lord, after seeing all that you do for us. Lord, to have an unfair advantage of being able to work here. And Lord, just get paid to spend time with you and paid to work with people. And to be able to just give everything I've got, Lord, to see this work and this ministry. Lord, to see you work in it. Lord, my hope and my prayer tonight, Lord, is that all of us have a part in this work and this ministry, that we're just blessed beyond measure, being able to see what you're doing here. And Lord, tonight, help it to not be old hat. We're facing a couple more days of services, Monday and Tuesday. But Lord, we don't want to ever take for granted the freedom, the privilege, the wonderful, awesome opportunity it is to hear the Word of God being preached and taught. Lord, not just from a man's perspective, but Lord, from a Holy Spirit-filled man of God that's preaching from the Word of God. This evening, we'll humble ourselves once again. Lord, we'll empty ourselves of ourselves, asking you to once again fill us with your Holy Spirit's power as we listen. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power now as he preaches. We'll ask that your hand be upon this service in a special way. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I am going to try to help you tonight. I think if you'll listen, if it'll help you personally. I believe if you're a parent of children that are still at home, it'll help you. I believe as you work on your job, it will help you. I think just in your general Christian life that this will be something that will help get you through. I believe that God teaches that we, as the children of God, ought to have a good work ethic. Not only does God have a good work ethic, he made us in his likeness. God has a very good work ethic. I was preaching to some of our children this week. We have some homeschoolers that get together once a month for a chapel. And I made a statement to them, I'll make it to you as a church. A person without a good work ethic is worse than the devil, because the devil has a good work ethic. I wished America would wake up and realize they're worse than the devil. You do not enjoy life if you don't enjoy work. The best way to enjoy life is to enjoy work. The biggest and the loudest complainers today are those who want everything without working. They want to take from the wealthy and give to those who do not and who will not work. It is the ones who do not work that are the loudest complainers. Well, it's not fair. Somebody makes a lot more money. Those CEOs shouldn't have that big a salary. Well, get off your blessed do-nothing and go build what they built, and you can have the same salary. The Constitution of the United States doesn't say that we're supposed to all make the same amount of money. It says we're all supposed to have the same rights. Everybody doing okay? everybody having the same amount of money, that's communism. That's socialism. Now, God tells us not to be weary in well-doing. Now, some of you are going to groan. This doesn't mean we should be not get tired of doing good. Good is an adjective. It describes a noun. Good, someone says, how are you feeling? That is an adverb question, not an adjective question. That's why you shouldn't say, I'm doing good. My standard answer is, what good are you doing? You should say, I'm doing well. Because well is an adverb that modifies the verb doing. Good modifies a noun. Now, it's important because when you see this, you're going to understand this. God tells us not to get weary doing things well or completely right as possible. He does not say that we should not be weary of doing good. He said, don't ever tire of doing things the right way. Don't ever tire of doing things well. Now, if we use this whole passage, though, we see something. There's a pattern here. If well is an adverb, the word disorderly is also an adverb. L-Y words are adverb words. Look at verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that what? Walketh disorderly. In other words, God tells us how they're walking. They're walking disorderly. Now listen to me. The word disorder means out of order. In the wrong order of things. And God says that we should not walk with those that walk disorderly. Verse number 7, towards the end of the verse. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. If you look over in verse number 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. So the opposite of doing well is doing disorderly. Okay, everybody got that? So let's see if you can remember that. What is the opposite of doing well? It's doing what? Okay, you sounded like a bunch of Methodists. The opposite of doing well is doing what? Disorderly. Very good, boys and girls. All right. God tells us not to do things disorderly, but to do them well. That means in the right order and completely. Now, listen to me very carefully here. In other words, God wants us to be well-doing, not disorderly doing. He wants us to be doing things in order and doing them well, not haphazardly, running all over the place, trying to figure out what to get done, when to get it done, doing this, and well, I'll do it in my order, like it, lump it, here it goes. The key to well-doing is not being disorderly. So what is the key to well-doing? It's what? Not being
disorderly.
It's a little better. The key to well-doing is not doing things how?
Disorderly.
If we can find how not to be disorderly, we have a much better chance of being able to live doing well-doing. Let's look at this a little more closely. I promise you it's not going to be a long sermon, but I think one that will help you. Number one, God says to withdraw from those who walk disorderly. He says withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Look at verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Hello. The word disorderly means out of proper order, unarranged, or irregular. God says that we are to withdraw from those who are living life out of order. He didn't say that we are to, I'll get to that in a second here. These are not necessarily bad people. God doesn't say withdraw from bad people. He says withdraw from the brother, that's saved people, who walk disorderly. That's people that are doing things in the wrong order. You don't plant corn today and reap it tomorrow. You don't plant corn today and reap it at all. You have to wait till spring. You plant it now, you might get it sprouted, but it's going to die over the winter. You're going to waste your time doing all the work in the fields, tilling them, leveling them, taking the planters out, planting it, covering it back up, watching it sprout, and then the winter's going to come, it's going to freeze it, it's going to rot it, it's going to die, and you're never going to have a kernel of corn from it. Not one. Say why? Done out of order. The farmers who are taking their corn down right now, many of them are putting winter wheat in its place, or hay, or other things. Say, why? Things that'll make it through the summer. Or they're just plowing up the fields and they're turning over the stalks, letting that rot through the winter to become compost in the dirt to make the soils more nutrient-rich in the spring when they replant. You plant winter wheat now and you harvest it in June. You don't wait till June to plant winter wheat. Winter wheat doesn't mean you harvest it in the winter. It means you plant it and it winters over and then it has a jump on spring. Bless you, by the way. God says that there is an order to some things spiritually. God says you're supposed to get saved, then you're supposed to get baptized, then you're supposed to join the church, then you're supposed to, as you do those things, you're also to be growing in the Lord, witnessing and telling others about him. God's order is salvation, baptism, church membership, good works, correct? Here's what happens. You get people that get that out of order. Then you have people that say, well, you've got to get baptized and join the church to get salvation, or you have to do good works to get salvation, and now you have things out of order. Is doing good works a bad thing? Yes or no? No, it's not. But putting it before salvation, it becomes out of order. It's disorderly. So God says, withdraw from those that walk disorderly. Notice the word here, the word walk. It's not somebody who messes up once. The word walk means somebody that's in a way of life that's disorderly. Someone who is perpetually, continually living out of order. God says, withdraw. The word withdraw means pull back a little bit. It means just to hesitate. Miss Arlene gave me the name of a young man that I knew who walked disorderly as a child, as a young person. And at 24 years old, OD'd about 10 days ago and died. Now, wait a minute. I warn people not to walk with that person because they were walking disorderly. I wonder how many people that person took down with him. By the way, I believe he's a saved young person. I believe he's in heaven right now. He's not real happy maybe, but he's there. But I would warn young people, don't spend time with him because he's walking disorderly. I'm not saying he was a bad person, but he was walking disorderly. So the best thing to do is warn your children, don't walk with somebody who's walking disorderly. God says, pull back from. This does not mean that we abandon them. We pull back from so that it does not cause us to get out of order. And it may show them they're out of order and they may come back to where we are. You see, sometimes people get so self-centered that they don't realize they're out of order. Y'all, you men know what I'm talking about. You know all the nuances of your car or your truck. But if somebody else drove it, they might ruin it. Say why? Because they don't know how to hold their mouth when they turn the key so that thing doesn't grind. And they don't know how to do this and fidget with that to make that work so that you don't blow the engine. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you fellas? Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't mean that you abandon them, but it does mean you pull back from. I have preachers who I don't know where they're quite going right now. So I just pull back a little bit. And I wait to see, are they drifting away or are they staying in line? It's not that I have abandoned them, but all of a sudden they look back and say, hey, look, we're miles and miles and miles apart. Where'd you go? And I'm saying, I stayed on the same path. Where'd you go? I haven't written them off as an enemy. I have not said, look, you're going down a wrong path, but you're not in the right order. I'm going to step back just a hair. I'm going to peel back. We're going to keep going, and we're going to find out where we end up out here. I have a scope on my 243. Last fall, my scope died on my 243. So 2 days before hunting season, I had to go out and buy a new scope. I went out and bought a brand new scope, put it on, had it tweaked in, went out, shot it, thought we had it. Josh took it out last year. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with it. Something's wrong with this thing. He tried to sight it in. I tried it. I missed. Took it back out, sighted it back in, went out. I took 6 shots at a deer at 160 yards this week at it. I was throwing lead everywhere. I was so angry. I took it down to Brother Larry. I said, Brother Larry, here, fix this thing. Got a brand new scope on this thing. He fired 14 shots through that gun and couldn't hit the same spot twice. He said, your scope's bad. Whew, crosshairs are messed up. I was so mad. I was glad to know it wasn't just me. But I was frustrated. So got to take that scope back and hopefully get a new one. I'm going to get a new one way or the other. But all that to say this, it's disorderly. It fires one here. At 20 yards, it's holding a pattern about like this. But you go back to 50 yards and it's 8 inches off. You go to 100 yards or 150 yards, it's feet off, yards off. The farther out that thing is out of trajectory, the farther out you go, the more off it is. I know this. There's one doe out at the farm. She has danced all over one field because I was beep, 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 pew, pew, pew. That poor little thing did not know where she was running. Dirt flying everywhere. And she, it was great. Other than I'm like, I might as well throw this thing. Wait a minute. People who do not live by truth, by the way, truth has order. 1 + 1 is?
2.
2 + 2 is?
4.
3 + 3 is? Not 7. When you teach a child that if you can reason 3 + 3 = 7, that it's okay because that's how you got to it, things are out of order. By the way, that's the new math. Now listen to me. When people begin to live away from truth, they begin to live disorderly. And they begin to justify their disorder. They trust their way. That's why education now, almost everything about public education is, how does this make you feel? How does this make your emotion feel? Why do you feel this way about this? What do you see in this? There's no truth involved. Therefore, we have disorder. And we wonder why 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 year olds are being taught that they can be a boy, a girl, or something in between. Folks, it's not those things aren't hardwired in the brain. That's taught by perverts. People who get away from truth trust traditions. Traditions mean more than truth. That's why in a lot of your mainline denominations, everything is based on tradition and not truth. They trust how they feel. Well, I felt the Spirit, so it must be right. You never see feeling and the Holy Spirit go together anywhere in the Bible. Well, I trust my own intellect. Yeah, look around. We got a lot of politicians trusting their intellect, and look, go to the store and see how their intellect's doing. The shelves are empty. God says withdraw from those who walk disorderly. He didn't say disavow or disown. He said just pull back a little bit. Just take a half step back. Let them keep going. God doesn't say support their disorder if they have the same last name as you. When your children are walking disorderly, step back. Let them get whacked. Warn them, but don't support them. Well, I'm not paying for their alcohol, but I'll pay their rent. You're paying for their alcohol. Well, no, I'm not. Yes, you are, because the money they should be spending on rent, they're spending on booze or drugs or immorality. Don't support it financially. Say, well, I love them. No, you don't. God says you hate them because you're supporting their wrongdoing. Keep loving them by action, but pull back from them. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, you don't harp on them if they don't believe the truth the way you believe the truth. Let them come to the truth on their own. If they're grown, back off. You're not going to force them. All you're doing is pushing them farther away. So, number one, God says withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Number two, yes. God's number two says we should not behave disorderly. Look at verse number seven. For yourselves know that you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Look at verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Oh. We are to live by order, not react to everything that comes our way. Let me say this. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
You say, what is order? Schedule. You don't get up when you feel like getting up. You get up when you're supposed to get up.
Amen.
Now, if you have to have six different alarms to do it, do it. I'm not the kind of person that wants to wake up six different times. I set an alarm one time a week, and about once every 6 months it goes off. Literally. I set an alarm for Sunday mornings. That's it. And my wife will tell you, she probably can't remember the last time it went off. Say why? Because I just believe in doing things, and my body is so in rhythm, and I just know what to do, when to do it. Now, at 3 o'clock when I woke up the first time this morning, I said, okay, what day is this? What did I do yesterday? Well, that's right. I went to the pumpkin patch. That was Saturday. Okay, got it. Today's Sunday. Glory. Okay, I got another hour. Let's sleep. And on we went. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Order. Schedule. Now, be careful. As a parent, I had to set the order by which my family lived. I didn't let the children tell me what the order was. The parent told the child what the order was. Now, I have to take into account their needs. A 5-year-old doesn't have the endurance of a 35-year-old. I'm not going to get a 5-year-old up at 4:30 and put him to bed at 11 o'clock at night. That ain't going to go over real well. You need to adjust your schedule. children don't have the same endurance or maturity as an adult. Or at least they shouldn't. But we don't let an infant dictate what we do. You ought to hear some of the stupid things they're trying to teach parents these days. I mean, well, you need to let a child decide what its own schedule and sleep rhythm is going to be. I have two words for that. Drop dead. They have something now they call free-range parenting. Folks, they're not chickens. And you don't even know what free-range means. You think it means something. Do you know what free-range chickens are? Instead of putting them in cages, they put them on the ground in a cage. And they put 2,000 chickens in a room the size of this. And because they're not in a cage, they're free range. That's all that it means. And you spend an extra $2 a pound for it. It doesn't mean they're out running and foraging in the woods all by themselves. Mm-mm. Well, it's all organic. Yeah, when you eat it, it becomes organic. We are to tell the child what to do, not let the child tell the parent what to do. I only told my dad what to do one time. Say, what happened? We had a Board of Education meeting. It was applied to the seed of knowledge, and I learned real fast, you don't tell moms and dads what to do. Oh, I've had this conversation many times as a principal in a school. I'd get down in a little kindergartner's grill and say, look, 5-year-olds don't tell 40-year-olds what to do. 40-year-olds tell 5-year-olds what to do. Got it? Yes, sir. Say, you did that? Yep. And they turned out pretty good, most of them. Now, wait a minute. We're to plan or order our action and not live by reaction. Too many people in our society today are reactionary and not actioned. We respond to everything. We hear a commercial, we go buy it. We see something and we go get it. We hear something and we respond to it. And we react to everything that comes to us and all the stimulus from phones and computers and television and the media. And we're so used to reacting to everything that when somebody says something to us, we react to it instead of acting on it. Turn to Psalm 37. Everybody doing okay? I love you. I told you weren't going to like this one, but it's going to change your life. Psalm 37, the Bible says in verse number 23, Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Ooh. And he delighteth in his way. In other words, people that walk in an orderly way are delighted. The steps of a good man are ordered. They're scheduled. They walk orderly. Psalm 9. Go over to Psalm 90. Look at verse number 12. Psalm 90, verse number 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That word number there means orderly. Put them in an orderly number. You know, you only have 7 days a week. You better number your days and make sure you're doing the right thing on the right day. God says, teach us to do. In other words, that is a learned trait. Do you know that nobody is scheduled by nature? There are not certain people that are, you don't come out of the womb scheduled. You come out of the womb reactionary. To everything. Screaming and crying. You cry when you're hungry. You cry when you're dirty. You cry when you're wet. You cry when you want attention. And you cry when you're happy. That continues for the ladies all the way through. But Brother John, if I walked up to you and said, I'm so happy, something's wrong here, you know. But it's okay if a lady does. And that's fine. Teach us to number our days. Schedule them. Did you know that it is something that can be learned? If my mother were still alive, she would be back here ready to shout amen on my next statement here. If you would have known me when I was in high school, in early college, you would have never believed that I could be your preacher and organize the way I do. My father said it for her. I hear a voice from heaven. I had to teach myself to organize. It's not something that you do naturally on your own. It is a learned trait. By the way, it only irritates people who aren't organized. Well, they're just type A. No, they're type S, scheduled. Type O, organized. And they've chosen to be that way so they don't have to bounce around like a BB in a steel room. You know, ricochet rabbit. We are less apt to follow our sinful flesh and our sinful desires for the world if we live by order. If we go to church when we're supposed to be in church, we're less apt to do the wrong things when we're supposed to be in church. If we read our Bible when it's time to read our Bible, we're less apt to do sinful things during the time we read our Bible. If we pray at the time we're supposed to pray, by the way, it's not like the Muslims seven times a day and all that other stuff. But when we pray, we're supposed to pray and not have all the other things interacting with us. You're less apt to get disorderly if you'll follow things in order. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, now I'm really going to make you mad. You're not the one to choose the order. Let the Word of God choose the order. Quit playing God. Let God choose the order instead of you. When we focus on wrong order, this is when we often mess up. When we get out of order, we get messed up. Do you know when most Christians get in trouble? When they get out of schedule. Vacation. Missing church. Working too much. They get out of order. They get out of church. They get out of priority. And then they wonder why their life starts getting messed up. I think you ought to be at church every chance you get. Every time we have a service, I think you ought to be here. Not because we have to have a big church, but I'm trying to keep you in the right order. We could go back to the story of David and Bathsheba. David was out of order. Can I tell you why he was out of order? He was supposed to be at war fighting with the kings. It was the season of war. He stayed at home. Now, you can say what you want. I've done enough study on this. Everybody said, well, Bathsheba had a part in this. No, David wasn't supposed to be there. And there was also a time of day men were not supposed to be outside while the women bathed. David not only wasn't where he was supposed to be, he went outside or looked at a time when he was not supposed to, and then he lusted and then committed adultery. Everybody doing okay? He was at watching at a time when he was not supposed to. He wasn't even supposed to be home. So he got out of order, and what happened? He really screwed up his life. Ended up committing murder. We're not to live in emergency mode. Too many people live going from one emergency to the next. Everything in life is an emergency. Folks, if it's an emergency today, it'll be an emergency tomorrow. I don't get all riled up too fast. I can get tragic news. I could walk from my office and come in here and preach and you'd never know it. You say, why? I can't change the emergency. So let's keep doing what we're supposed to do in the order in which we're supposed to do it. Now, let's not behave out of order. In other words, children ought to act like children. I think children ought to learn how to play. I think they ought to learn how to play with each other. I think they ought to learn how to eat dirt and rumble and roll in it and get dirty and all those kind of good things that a kid does, I think that you ought to enjoy being a child, because guess what? You only get to do it once. But I also believe teenagers ought to be teenagers and not be adults before they're adults. I think teenagers have been forced into an area of life where they become adults way too soon. They need to learn to be teenagers. They need to come to activities. They ought to go to camps, and they ought to go to all the things that we have here at the church. You say, why? Because they ought to learn how to have fun as a Christian young person and not be an adult when they're a teenager. I'm going to make a statement here. I don't care if it hair lips every church in town. I'm against teenagers leading church services and being teen leaders. Adults ought to lead teenagers. Teenagers ought not lead teenagers. Everybody doing okay? Well, how are they going to learn leadership? You learn leadership by following. Amen. Teach them to be good followers. You'll teach them to be good leaders. Okay, I said it. I think young adults ought to be young adults. 25-year-olds don't need to act like 75-year-olds. Or like Brother Andy. I think adults ought to act like adults. Not act like children. There is nothing funnier to me than some 70-year-old with a long white ponytail riding a Harley. Some guy thinks he's still 25. He's got to take triple Geritol just to get on the thing. Then he's got to have his Depends on so he doesn't get in trouble along the way. But man, he's enjoying his Harley. Y'all think I'm kidding. I've talked to some of these guys. By the way, we don't need adults living like children playing video games all the time. I'm about had it with adult men who can't spend time with their family because they're spending too much time playing video games. I better hurry. I went to meddling real fast, didn't I? So, number one, God says don't walk with those that walk disorderly. Number two, God says we ought not behave disorderly. Number three, we need to walk and work orderly. Look at verse number 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 11. For we hear that there are some of you which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Sounds like BLM. Sounds like defund the police people. Sounds like the rioters. Does it not? They have all this time to riot. Where were their jobs? George Soros was paying them not to work. God makes it very clear that we are to be orderly. To be orderly, we need to learn how to work. I believe we ought to teach children to work. I said it in chapel this week to the kids. Do you know what a child's work is? A child's work is their schoolwork and their chores at home. My dad sitting back there, he'll tell you, I'm telling the gospel truth. We did not get breakfast if our bed wasn't made. Say why? You don't work, you don't eat. I think you ought to teach your children to do their morning chores before they get breakfast in the morning. Well, I'd never get them out the door. Oh, yeah, you would. If you had my dad, you would have. He'd have jerked you up when he got up at 4:30 a.m. and got your chores done for you. He'd be sitting there barking orders while he's sipping coffee watching you work. There was many a times I grew up in snow country. There was many a times I'd go out and shovel 2-3 driveways before I'd come in and get breakfast and then go to school. And I'm not talking where you had an inch or two of snow. I'm talking 6-8 inches of snow. They didn't cancel school back then. Good night. 77, 78 blizzard. We were at school during the blizzard. We thought it was great because they let us come home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, we couldn't believe we were getting out of school early, and we got the next day off school. we had 42 inches of snow that time, but we did go back to school the following Monday. Say, where did you all stand? On top of snowdrifts waiting on the bus. I remember standing out when it's 10 below zero waiting on a bus. Well, it's just too cold. Aw, come here, let me burp you too. God makes it very clear that to be orderly, you need to learn how to work. God's order for success is work, eat, buy, and play. In other words, work, you got to eat, you pay your bills and buy things, and then what's left over, you play. Our world's order is buy, eat, play, and let somebody else provide the money. That's today's world. You've heard of the new Obama McDonald's? You order what you want, make the guy behind you pay for it. God not only wants us to work, he wants us to do our work well. Look at verse number 11 again, and we're going to wrap this up real quick. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now listen to me, this is your sermon. God does not want us to be weary or get weary of doing our best in all that we do. Boys and girls, I believe you ought to give your best on every paper at school. Every paper. Not just the subjects you like lunch, recess, PE, all those wonderful subjects that I loved most. No, God says that you ought to do your best in English. You ought to do your best in math and science and history and writing and vocab and spelling. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. As the world gets worse and farther from the truth and more out into disorder, the more doing your work well causes troubles in the work world. Keep doing your best. I remember walking into the shop 30 years ago and having a supervisor say, Craig, could you slow down tonight a little bit? What for? You're making day shift look pretty bad. The guys are getting upset. I said, good. He said, well, I'm going to put you on three machines instead of one. That night, I outproduced three day shift people by lunch. I did 4 hours of work that I blew them away. I not only had one person mad at me, I had three mad at me the next day. Say, did you back off? I didn't get weary of well-doing. I broke my own records the next night on all three machines again. Could be why the owner of the company came and gave me a dollar an hour raise retroactive 30 days. Don't get weary of well-doing because, well, you better slow down. I remember hearing my dad talk about men in the shop. Oh, Mel, you can't get these jobs done so fast. We got to have job security here. If that machine's not working, you're not getting any money. If the plant's not producing, you don't make money. Your job is to make money for the company so that you get your paycheck. Amen. And if you made more money, you might get a bigger paycheck. Amen. Go figure. Don't lessen your quality as the quality of other workers goes down. Don't get bought into, well, this is the way it should be, but you can get by doing this. No, don't be weary in well-doing. Do it right all the way through, no matter what. Don't lessen your quality as people pressure you to not perform well. Now, let me make a statement here. God's order is as important as what we do. God's order is as important as what we do. Did you know that most sin is good done in disorder? Adultery and fornication is good done in wrong order. God says date, marry, physical relationship. You mess that order up, you have fornication and adultery. Matter of fact, my Bible says that God said to the married person, the bed's undefiled. Everybody doing all right? Yeah. I'm being as appropriate as I can be here. But when you mess up the order, look what we have. LGBTQ alphabet soup people. When you mess up the order, look what you have. Most sin is good done in wrong order. That's what the word pervert means. It means to change the order of. And the perverts of our day have changed the order of things. God said one man for one woman. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. In other words, don't pervert it. Don't get it out of order. Well, it doesn't matter who we love. Right. Go put two bulls in a pen and tell them that. Most religion is good out of order. You have a lot of religion based on the Old Testament temple. And Jesus fulfilled all that and he said, that's out of order now. We started the church, we're not having the temple. And they have things out of order. Let's be orderly. And let's do what we do well. Be not weary in well doing. The opposite of well doing is what? Disorderly. Let's not be disorderly so that we have a better chance of being able to live well doing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. A little bit of a different kind of sermon, but one we all need. We all need to get our priorities right. We all need to get things in schedule, get things in order. And if you need help with it, come see me. We'll help get it in order. But let's get things in order.